Dr. James McCray. He's from Florida, and he's going to talk about hurricane as well. So without further ado, please.
Thank you, Brenda. I'll be talking a little bit about hurricane yield response to nitrogen on mineral soils in Florida. My co-authors, Kelly Morgan and Les Balcom, and I started this study in 2006. A little background, sugarcane has grown on 162,000 hectares in Florida, or about 400,000 acres. It's the largest acreage row crop in Florida. About 80% of that are on pistol soils, and so about 20% are on mineral soils that I'll be talking about today. These are primarily spota soils and inosoils. These are all typically low soil organic matter and typically 10 to 30 grams of soil organic matter per kilogram, or about 1 to 3%. And so these have low nutrient and water holding capacities. There's essentially, in these sands, there's essentially no finer textured material. So the little bit of organic matter you have is essentially all you have to hold water and nutrients. And so fertilizer N is the primary N source for each crop. The current recommendation is 202 kilograms N per hectare per year. That's the same for plant and ratoon, or about 180 pounds of N per acre. This recommendation was developed over 30 years ago, so it's been around a long time based on research that was done essentially back in the 60s and 70s. But the sugarcane area on mineral soils has increased by 84% in the last 25 years. There's some concern that the soils that the growers are growing on mineral soils now may not be exactly the same as some of these recommendations were developed on. And so the growers view this recommendation as inadequate. It doesn't allow any flexibility for differences in plant versus ratoon. It doesn't allow for any differences in organic matter or patterns in rainfall. So the objective was to determine sugarcane yield response to nitrogen on South Florida mineral soils. We set up four small plot experiments in growers' fields. Sites 1 through 3 were randomized complete block designs. We started a couple of those in fall of 2006. N rates ranging from 157 to 336 kilograms N per hectare. I've got four in parentheses. Actually, there were five N rates equally spaced between those values. And in those locations, we started out comparing four split applications versus five applications for plant and ratoon. And after a couple of years, we realized for ratoon to be more effective, we needed to compare three versus four to really give us a better idea if splits were making a difference in that range. And so the fourth location we set up as a Latin square design in fall of 2008, and there we went all the way to zero nitrogen, and up ranging up to 269 kilograms N per hectare. And in this case, we used three split applications across the board there. All of this fertilizer we're looking at was applied as soluble nitrogen, either as DAP, which was the primary P source except for the Latin square, or went to zero N, either as DAP or ammonium nitrate. So it's all soluble nitrogen. As a side note, we're also looking at control release sources and nitrogen. Kelly Morgan, my co-author, has looked at a substantial amount at control release for sugarcane. It works very well. I'm doing some work with it now. The growers are also taking a hard look at it. In some cases, some of them are using some control release as well. But today, for the purpose of this study, I'm strictly trying to determine appropriate optimum rates for soluble nitrogen. This is just an aerial shot of the site for the Latin square design. This is actually a split plot design, which included with and without compost. But today I'll just be talking about the plots without compost. A little bit about analysis of variance results at sites 1 through 3. We found, and the red numbers indicate the years that we found significance at 0.05. We found for first routine at site 3, a significant increase within rate at 0.05. We had three crop years, two plant and one routine crop that was significant at 0.1. And these sands tend to be highly variable, so we do consider something at 0.1 to be significant in these types of soils. Looking at the number of split applications, we found one year comparing 3 versus 4 splits for first routine at site 3, where the 4 split applications resulted in increased tons sucrose per hectare compared to 3. So split applications, as been shown by previous research, is important, and in this case, this was one of 2 years where we compared 4 versus 3 was significant. The sucrose yield at site 4, we found that in this case we went all the way to zero N, so it's not surprising that we found a highly significant increase within rate in tons sucrose per hectare at each year. So particularly in when you go to zero N on these soils, you can see that you get very poor growth, that you essentially can't produce a reasonable crop without nitrogen on these soils. I'd like to look at nonlinear regression as the primary way that we're using to establish the optimum N rates. If you think about a general response curve, you have what I would call a response range, where you're getting a strong yield response to increasing fertilizer rate, and at some point you have a transition to a plateau or a relatively flat zone where you're reaching a zone of sufficiency for the crop. And what we're trying to do is determine what N rate or range of rates that we should be at that would be in the sufficiency range but not apply excessive nitrogen. In these plots, I'm looking at relative sucrose yield, which allows us to combine locations and crop years, versus nitrogen rate. And this was the best nonlinear model that we found for plant cane exponential model, and we reached 95% of the maximum predicted sucrose at 240 kilograms N per hectare. And in this graph also, you drop below 90% when you go below about 202 kilogram N per hectare rate. We had a couple of models that I'll show you for ratoon cane. The first is the linear plateau model, in which we reached a plateau at an N rate of about 172 kilograms N per hectare. And below that, you would see a substantial decrease in relative sucrose yield. The other model, which had a similar R-square value, I think we should also consider, is the exponential model, which was similar to plant cane. And in this case, we reached the 95% maximum predicted sucrose yield at about 220 kilograms N per hectare. That's a little lower than for plant cane. The plant cane will reach 95% yield at 240. I think that's to be expected, because with plant cane you have a growth period that's typically you're planting in the fall, and you go in until the a period that's 14 to 18 months later at harvest. Whereas ratoon cane in Florida would be typically 10 to maybe 12 to 13 months. So it's a shorter period, and you're having to supply essentially most of the nitrogen for the crop. So the plant cane crop would typically require more nitrogen in Florida. And so you're looking at the linear plateau that we reached at 172, 95% maximum predicted yield for ratoon cane was 220 kilograms N per hectare. So basically, what we'd like to do is pull together all this information to come up with optimum N rates for growers. And we determined that nonlinear regression demonstrated strong relationships between N rate and sucrose yield. what we think we need to do is develop separate recommendations for plant and ratoon crops to allow for the longer growth period of plant cane, and also to allow for variation in organic matter and rainfall patterns. It's also suggested that recommendations be developed as ranges rather than single values. This will allow the grower some flexibility because they may have areas that are less than 1% organic matter, other areas that are 2% organic matter, maybe 3. And so these wouldn't necessarily be treated the same way. Also, the differences in rainfall patterns, rainfall totals, might require adjustments during that year in terms of how much and when they're applying the nitrogen. The lower limits for these ranges are suggested to be 202 and 172 kilograms N per hectare for plant and ratoon. The exponential models indicated that 95% of maximum predicted relative sucrose yield was achieved at 240 and 220 kilograms N for plant and ratoon respectively. And we had one year in which the number of splits made a significant difference, so it is important that the growers consider the number of split applications of soluble N. And of course, this also has an environmental component, and I think it will be probably a useful best management practice to apply no more than about 50 kilograms N per hectare at one application, and so this is split up well during the year, and you don't lose a lot of that at once. Just to acknowledge the support provided by the Florida Sugarcane League and all the growers that were good enough to allow us to do the research on their farms. Thank you, and if I have time, I'll answer questions.
Definitely. Okay, we have time for questions.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you use DAP as a source of nitrogen, 200 kg nitrogen per acre or more, you will be applying a lot more phosphate to sugarcane, which will be a waste because sugarcane doesn't need too much phosphate.
No, let me explain that. The reason I put that down there, it's used as the P source. So we would use it as for the amount of P that we need. The rest we'd use ammonium nitrate. I just listed it to let you know it was a soluble N source. We didn't use it for all the P anywhere, just enough to supply the P that we needed, which was no more than 75 pounds P2O5 or 36 kilograms P per hectare.
That's fine. Generally, one would expect a lesser optimal rate for the plant crop than for the root crop.
Okay, it's the soils, and it's Florida. So essentially, like I say, there's nothing in these soils to keep the nitrogen there. And it's in a heavy rainfall area. It all leaves. It all leaches out. So unless you have a legume crop right and ahead of it, which has been shown to maybe reduce the N requirement. If you just have a fallow period without anything added to the soil, the nitrogen, whatever you have before, is not going to stay there. So it's simply that these soils don't hold the nitrogen and that you have a longer period, growth period, that requires more nitrogen.
Any other question?
I'm just wondering about the timing of your split applications. And you said when you go over 2 to 3, how would growers, in a practical sense, be able to make those applications? Are they going to be aerial applications?
Basically, the last two have to be aerial. And everything up to that is applied with ground equipment. So the last two, that's from, say, May or June through September, that period has to be applied by air. And that's one of the reasons that growers are looking at control release, so they can cut down to maybe a couple of applications per year, not have to have the aerial applications, save on application costs. So they are considering that, but the last two are aerial.
Okay, let's do it.